Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Hey, if you think globalism is about getting cheaper cars and computers, better travel, you may need to think again. Yes, there's an economic benefit that comes from trade, and it's a wonderful thing to be introduced to new cultures. And yes, America has historically been a melting pot where people from around the world have come to make a better life for themselves and their families while together building the greatest nation on earth. Having a global outlook, that's a good thing. It helps us know more about ourselves and more about others. But what if dark forces have hijacked the process to remake America into something very different from what our founders intended? Something very different from the America that I grew up in, with the purpose of secularizing, homogenizing, and even conquering our land and our people in subtle ways to where we end up under tyranny. Have you noticed the gradual shift in globalism over the years? As a kid, America was seen as the great hope for the world. Over time, it feels like we've become the target of the world. This program will examine the dark side of the globalist movement, recognizing the threat, but illuminating the hope as well. Our guest is Alex Newman. You may have read his articles on Epoch Times or seen him on TV. He's an award-winning international journalist, educator, author, consultant, who seeks to glorify God in everything he does. He puts that in his bio. That's so cool. In addition to serving as the president of a small media and information consulting firm, Liberty Sentinel Media, he's written for a wide variety of publications in the United States and abroad. He's a contributor to WND, an education writer for Freedom Project Media, foreign correspondent for the New American Magazine. I can go on with the list. Here's one thing, though. He's lived in 8 countries, U.S., Mexico, Brazil, Switzerland, France, South Africa, Spain, and Sweden on 4 continents. He speaks multiple languages fluently and more, and he is a new guest in Pirate Money Radio. Welcome, Alec, to the Pirate Money Radio program.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you for having me, Kevin.
All right, so let's talk about this globalism push. It's not been that long ago that we were looking at that. What is the globalism push?
Well, thanks again for having me, Kevin. It's great to be here. And the ideology of globalism essentially holds that humanity should be united under primarily a one-world political system, a one-world government, if you will, but also a one-world economic system. And increasingly, we're seeing a lot of these globalists coming out of the closet and arguing that we should join forces on the religious front as well. And a lot of this stuff was kind of in the shadows. It was a lot of it was happening behind closed doors. Today, it's in your face. I go to these UN climate summits every year. I'll be headed down to Brazil in just a couple months. And now they're telling you where this is going. And since you asked about the Bible, I always tell people, dividing mankind into nations was actually God's idea, and he spells that out clearly and explicitly in the scriptures. That story is actually laid out in Genesis chapter 11. God told the people to spread out over the whole face of all the earth, and they said, no, we're going to sit here and build this big tower, even though you told us to spread out. So God forces the issue, and as he says in Deuteronomy 32, as he says in Acts chapter 17, he divided mankind. He fixed the borders of the peoples, and so I would argue that any effort to undermine institutions or divisions or things that God has ordained or created is by default anti-God.
Yeah, no. Deuteronomy 32:8, when the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when he divided mankind, he fixed the borders of the peoples according to the number of the sons of God. So you're right. God, nations are God's idea, and it starts in the Genesis and goes all the way to Revelation. When the judgment happens, God judges nations. So from a Bible-believing perspective, nations are something that God decided, and man is now in rebellion trying to eliminate those nations, right?
That's exactly right, Kevin. And I think for Americans, sometimes it's a little bit harder to understand this because we have a very unique nation in the history of the world. Ours is a nation that primarily is based on a set of ideas that come primarily out of the Bible, the idea that God created us equally, the idea that God endowed us with certain unalienable rights, the idea that governments exist to protect these rights. These are all just restatements of biblical ideas, and the people who wrote them down specifically said so. But for other nations, there's other factors that also unite them. If you look, for example, at the Zulu or the Xhosa or the Thai people or the Swedes or the French or whatever, you know, they're united by a common language, a common culture, a common kind of history and heritage. And And again, this was God's idea. He says that he divided mankind into nations, into tribes, and into tongues. And then, of course, we have the other division that Jesus Christ instituted between those who are with Christ and those who are against him. But these are the divisions that God has put in place. He doesn't explain in detail why he decided to divide mankind into nations, but it's enough to know that he did. And, you know, I've got some of my own ideas about why he may have done that. Imagine if you had a one-world system and fallen human beings like Adolf Hitler, Chairman Mao, Joseph Stalin ended up in charge of that one-world system. That would be a nightmare. And so I suspect one of the reasons God may have done this is to just restrain the wickedness and the sinfulness of man so we didn't end up doing something like Adolf Hitler did, but on a global scale.
You know, and that brings up two points. One of them is that God divided the nations, but he sent us into all the world as believers. Go ye into all the world. So we go to every tribe, every tongue, every country, and share the gospel. And that would unite us, even though we would have our cultural differences. But the second thing is the very thing you said that may have been God's motivation for dividing us is the very reason that the globalists are trying to unite us. They're not uniting us to hold hands and sing "We Are the World." They're trying to unite us so that someone or some group can take control. Talk about the history of globalism and how that is designed to be one world government controlling people, not bringing liberty.
Yeah, if you look at the history of these people, if you look at their own public statements, if you look at the fruit that they produce, if you look at their actions, it becomes very clear here that, as you pointed out, Kevin, these are not well-intentioned people who just want to give liberty and individual rights to all the people of the world. In fact, it's exactly the opposite. The reason they want this global system is so that they can rule over the world. And this is a desire that's been in the hearts of man, you know, from time immemorial. We've seen it manifested in tyrants throughout history. Hitler talked about this. Stalin talked about this. They all want to rule the entire world. And when you look at the structures that they themselves build, when you look at the public statements that they make, it's very clear that their idea for global governance and for global economic control is not compatible. In fact, it's literally the opposite of the ideas that our founding fathers put in place, the ideas from the Judeo-Christian heritage that have underpinned Western civilization or the free world for centuries now. So we need to recognize this isn't just an agenda for globalism, it's an agenda for totalitarian and evil globalism, and that makes exposing it and resisting it all the more urgent.
You know, what was fascinating, when I heard you give your talk to Liberty Pastors Group recently in Florida, it was fascinating to see that these people are like Bond villains. They're just open about it. They just feel compelled to point out. I mean, Austin Powers made fun of the Bond villain who tells the whole plan and then it can be thwarted. These guys feel compelled to tell that plan.
They do. I mean, they literally write it in their books. David Rockefeller wrote his memoirs. This was published, I believe, in 2012. It's called Memoirs. Anybody can go to their local library and get it. It's on page 405. He says, he talks about his meeting with Fidel Castro. He says, some even believe that we are conspiring with a secret cabal of internationalists to build a one world political and economic system. One world, if you will. And then he says, if that's the case, I stand guilty and I'm proud of it. So the guy's proud of, in his words, conspiring with a secret cabal against the best interests of his own nation, he says, to build a one-world political and economic structure. That should concern people. And the fact that they're doing this through deception, through manipulation, through indoctrinating our children rather than just coming out openly and making the case to the American people should tell us that something very fishy is going on here.
Oh, and they do it through infiltration also. I mean, we're going to have to take a break here in a minute, but Alger Hiss, the first head of the United Nations, tell briefly his history.
So he was the chairman of the conference that wrote the UN Charter. He was the first Secretary General of the UN. He was very close with FDR. He helped bring about the Yalta Agreement that ended up surrendering a big part of Eastern Europe to the communist mass murderers. And then we convicted him of serving as a spy for Joseph Stalin, which is why he's kind of been airbrushed out of the history textbooks that our children read.
Oh, yeah. Algirdas, the first head of the United Nations, was an avowed communist. I mean, he hid that from us to a certain degree. But he took FDR down communist track. It's very, very dangerous, these globalists, what they've done. And they've been doing it since before we were born. And they are a threat to your life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. All right, we're going to cover this and more with Alex Newman right after this break. Here's a $10 bill. It's got the picture of Alexander Hamilton on the front of it. You know, it's kind of sad. When I was 10 years old, everything that I could buy for a dollar now costs about $10. That's the cost of inflation. It's just paper. It's not backed by anything. You can't exchange it for gold and silver. You used to, but you can't do that anymore. And that's unfortunate. You know, pirates wouldn't accept this. Pirates, they wanted gold and silver. Patriots, the founders of this nation, also wanted gold and silver coin. In fact, they put a provision in the Constitution, 17 words, that said states could only make gold and silver coins tender within the states. That's why I wrote this new book, Pirate Money, Discovering the Founders' Hidden Plan for Economic Justice and Defeating the Great Reset. It will explain exactly the history of money and exactly why gold and silver coins can be made modern with new technology and a useful monetary system. PirateMoneyBook.com.
I'm outside Babe's, which I'm told is the quintessential chicken restaurant here in Roanoke, Texas. Let's go and see if we can buy the food in here, chicken with gold.
This is gonna be the fried chicken.
This is unbelievable. How am I gonna fit all this in? I seriously actually don't know how to begin with this. This is so overwhelming.
Do you think I can pay with gold?
I don't know. You may have to ask the cashier. I don't handle it.
Can I pay with gold? But actually, you said I could pay with this? Okay, I'm going to pay with this, but I'm going to pay with gold. So look at the price of gold going up. That's pretty cool, yeah? Right, this is Babe's, yeah? How much gold did I pay? Gold, how many grams?
0.26.
Quarter of a gram of gold. How about that?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Success! Bought with gold, paid with glint.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, we're talking with the great Alex Newman. He's an incredible journalist, and he's been studying these efforts, these one world government efforts that date back, you know, before any of us were born, date back to, you know, really to the time of Nimrod in the Bible, but also in the United States, which was set up to be separate and apart. But we're a fledgling nation. We're not going to succeed. And so the great European powers didn't worry about us too much until we started to succeed. And we applied the principles of God's word and our Constitution and became the most successful, prosperous nation on earth. And sometime in there, we got infiltrated with secret societies, and they plotted how are they going to displace the United States and replace it with a cabal of evil leaders in charge. Alex, tell us, what are the secret societies? You've studied them. What are they?
Well, by nature, secret societies are secret. They're very difficult to track. But we do know quite a bit about quite a few of them. And you mentioned George Washington. I mean, I go all the way back to George Washington. I've got a copy of a book. It's called Proofs of a Conspiracy. It was written by a high-level Scottish Freemason by the name of John Robison. And he had traveled through the European continent. He was in Paris. He was in Berlin. He had gone to St. Petersburg. And what he discovered was that there was an effort, a subversive effort, to infiltrate European Freemasonry and use it for subversive purposes. And he obtained documents. He obtained critical information about this effort. It went back to a very shady individual known as Adam Weishaupt, who had set up this secret society that was often referred to as the Illuminati, the Illuminated Ones, and what they had was concentric circles. And so John Robison explains all of this in this book. He actually shows how the French Revolution was the direct result of their handiwork. Critical people involved were part of this network. And George Washington got a copy of this book. Very interesting. A pastor friend of his gave him this book, and he wrote a letter responding to this pastor expressing grave concerns about the infiltration of the same secret society into the United States. Now, mind you, this is 250 years ago, right? And yet you have the President of the United States, a great man of God, expressing serious concern about the infiltration of dangerous secret societies into the United States. He said he did not believe it had progressed very far in the United States of America, but he said nobody's more concerned about this Jacobinism than I am. That's what he wrote in response to his friend who had given him this book. So it's not a new phenomenon, but if you fast forward to the present day, you've got a number of very important secret societies that are hard at work undermining our national sovereignty and trying to reshape governance and really trying to reshape the hearts and the minds of our children. A couple that I focus a lot on that I've written, you know, whole books about, you've got some that are actually secret, like the Bohemian Grove. All the founding delegates of the UN went down to the Bohemian Grove. It's a weird group. They bring together some of the most powerful men in the world for these very bizarre celebrations. And some of the things they do, you actually have to see the evidence because it just sounds so crazy. I won't even get into it, but you and I both know a journalist who managed to sneak in there and videotape some of this. Richard Nixon, of course, talked about it in his autobiography. He said the most important speech of his political career was the one he gave there. And even recently, somebody hacked into Colin Powell's emails, the late Secretary of State, and he was actually bragging about his involvement in the Bohemian Grove, talking about how he sat next to Stephen Harper, the Prime Minister of Canada, and how they all hated Trump, which I thought was interesting. Trump is one of the few presidents of the modern era who has not attended this. So very interesting. Then you go to the other coast. You've got an outfit at Yale University called Skull and Bones, another secret society. They recruit about 15 members each year. Very, very influential people. They've served as presidents, heads of the Supreme Court, leaders in Congress, leaders of our political parties, CEOs of some of the most powerful American companies. And there's been a lot exposed about them in recent years. ABC News actually got secret footage that somebody taped from their headquarters called The Tomb. Absolutely crazy. They aired it in 2001. And a man I regard as one of America's most important historians. He's passed away now. Anthony Sutton from Stanford wrote a whole book about him called America's Secret Establishment, An Introduction to the Order of Skull and Bones. So this is just kind of a handful of the really important ones. There are others. And then there are some that are, I would argue, semi-secret. I mean, they have websites. They publish their membership list. But what happens there is kind of behind closed doors. The Bilderberg is an example of this. They meet every year, about 120 of the most powerful people in the world. Some of them have made public statements about what they're doing. So we have a good sense of what they're up to. But that's just a very brief overview, Kevin, of some of these organizations that are operating, some in the shadows, some less so.
Well, using Skull and Bones as an example, we've had presidential elections where both candidates were members of Skull and Bones. I think it was Gore and Bush, right? Both came through Yale. And you think of, look at the politicians and just look at the schools that they've attended, you know, mostly Ivy League and so forth, similar professions. They may differ on tax policy or a few small things, but they all tend to use that phrase, the New World Order. Clinton ran against Bush, and Bush was planning the New World Order. And then Clinton comes along and says, I agree with the New World Order, and actually quotes Bush. It's kind of a crazy thing, isn't it?
It really is. And almost every high profile leader you can think of in Europe and the United States has publicly pledged allegiance to this concept of a new world order. And they've even defined it for us. Right? George H.W. Bush went on national television and said it would be an order in which a credible United Nations would use its peacekeeping operations, its peacekeeping role, which, by the way, that means their military, to bring about the vision of the UN's founders, who we've already met, Alger Hiss and Joseph Stalin and some of these totalitarian weirdos. So it's very open what they're doing. And to look at the Skull and Bones in particular, this is a secret society that's existed since the mid-1800s, literally founded by a drug lord, the people that were selling the opiates to the Chinese. In this book that Anthony Sutton wrote about them, America's Secret Establishment, he explains that they use this process, this dialectical process, where they control both sides of the discussion so that no matter which way it goes, you end up in the same place. And we've seen many examples of that where literally members of the same tiny little secret society are pretending to be on opposite ends of the spectrum so that you kind of get a situation where, you know, heads I win, tails you lose, no matter what you choose, you're done for. And so this is, I think, really important for people to understand. We don't say this to frighten you or anything like that. Quite the opposite, in fact. God, I think, expects us to understand understand that there are nefarious forces active in the world. The Bible is filled with references to this. Psalm 2 is a really good example. I believe it's a prophetic vision that David had 3,000 years ago, where he talks about the kings of the earth and the rulers, some translations say conspiring together against the Lord and his anointed. Other translations say that they take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed. So they're working together against God. And of course, we know that we don't need to be concerned about that. God laughs at them. God is going to speak to them in his wrath. But that is the nature of reality. There is a real person called Satan. He's got demonic minions under his control. And we don't want to minimize the influence of the world and the flesh, because those are very real issues. But if we deny the existence of Satan, if we deny the existence of this spiritual battle that we find ourselves in, we're denying the clear text of Scripture, and we're denying the overwhelming evidence that we see with our own eyes.
Oh, I think you're right. In my lifetime, there are two presidents that were completely out of these secret societies that, as far as I know, president in my adult life, President Ronald Reagan and President Donald Trump. And you see how hated they are in the media and so forth. You know, but it often comes down to money. And the Bible is very clear that the love of money is the root of all sorts of evils. It's not itself a bad thing. It's just that people who love money, and you see a lot of people, if you don't get the money part right, Luke 16:11, you don't get trusted with true riches. So a lot of people are enticed either by money or sex or something along those lines. But money is central. And there are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, you can spend it, or you can invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions to the problems that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, it's a mobile phone company. It supports the Pirate Money radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. And we know that Satan uses the love of money to grab people. But we also know, and you point this out, that Karl Marx and communism, which is tied into this globalist cabal type idea, he also worshiped at Satan's altar. Can you explain that?
Yeah, it's what's so interesting, Kevin, is how little known this is. You know, the Bible tells us that by their fruit ye shall know them. And so even without knowing anything about what Karl Marx wrote, about what he said publicly, it should be very clear that this is a satanic ideology. All you got to do is look at the things he was calling for. Get rid of the family, right? The family is an institution that God created for his glory and for our good. And of course, to propagate the species, to bring about more image bearers on this planet. Who would want to destroy the family except Satan and his followers, right? He wanted to overthrow the nation and build kind of this, he called it the brotherhood of man, right? A one world totalitarian system. He wanted to destroy private property, which of course is an institution ordained by God. And it's real simple. Thou shalt not steal. Right? And so Karl Marx concludes, well, property is theft, and so we need to steal everything and redistribute it according to the plan that I think is the best one. So clearly this is a satanic ideology. But it's funny you asked about this. I'm going to grab right here for those who are watching us. I know most of us are hearing us on radio. But last night, this actually fell off my shelf. It's a book called Marx and Satan by the great pastor Richard Wurmbrand, who was tortured for many years by communist savages in a gulag in Romania. And as he was being tortured, he concluded that this must be satanic. When he got out, he started digging into it. And what he found was enormous amounts of evidence that Karl Marx was not an atheist, as we're so often taught. He was an actual Satanist. In fact, he wrote poems talking openly about how he loved Satan, supported Satan's agenda, and hated God. So it's a very good book, Marx and Satan. I would argue more important than any of the other books I've ever read on communism and Marxism, because it gives you a real sense of what's truly going on here, plus a lot of evidence.
You know, and you think about it, if you're truly a Satanist, you cannot admit that you exist. You have to deny it, because if you realize that Satan exists, then you realize God exists, and you know that God is greater than Satan, because God's the creator, Satan is a created being. And so you have to push people into atheism. You can't take them anywhere else. And so the purpose of communism is really to destroy the family and to put these evil people in charge in one world government. That is the ultimate goal. And it's not the opposite of capitalism in the terms that we think. capitalism, you think, well, the robber barons, Rockefeller and all that, you think, well, they're completely different from Satanists and they're completely different from Marxists. Not the case at all, right?
That's exactly right. The parallels are very clear. And what you see now for 100 years, globalists working with communists, working with Islamists, all united in their passionate hatred of God and the church and the family and the institutions that were ordained by God and created by people who love God. So there's a very clear pattern here. It's hard to miss it once you know that it's there.
Yeah, no, and they hate the United States of America. We love the United States of America, but we love God more. All right, we're going to be right back with Alex Newman and more on this globalism. And stay tuned. You will not want to miss what's coming next. In uncertain times, finding stability in the economy can feel challenging. But what if you could navigate economic volatility while honoring your biblical values? At Timothy Plan, they believe this balance is possible. Timothy Plan filters its volatility-weighted ETFs and family of mutual funds through a biblical pro-life and pro-family lens, so you can see competitive returns and moral responsibility, helping you to weather the economic storms. With Timothy Plan, align your investments with your values while adapting to our ever-changing culture. Since 1994, Timothy Plan has been recognized leader in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan, your bridge between faith, finances, and the future. Visit timothyplan.com or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN or 1-800-846-7526. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider a fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com.
Gold holds its value far better than the US dollar. Let's see what happens when I go in the sweet shop and pay with gold. Can I pay with gold?
Find out how much it costs.
Do you know why I'm even using gold?
I do not.
It holds its value over time.
Yeah.
But it's a bit difficult to spend, isn't it? Do you take this?
Yes.
That's MasterCard. Yeah, but I'm actually going to pay with gold, believe it or not. Using this. That's my MasterCard and it's linked to my gold wallet. So let's just watch that. Authorizing. Yeah, add a tip.
Thank you.
So this is your store?
Yes, sir.
And how much gold did I pay?
0.2243 grams.
Yeah, success. Bought with gold, paid with glint.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
You know, we're talking with Alex Newman. We're talking about conspiracies. And I got to tell you, there is absolutely a conspiracy. So you can call me a conspiracy theorist. I don't know if it's a human conspiracy. Sometimes it is. But it is always a satanic conspiracy. We know that Satan rules a kingdom. It's the kingdom of darkness. It's the kingdom of this earth. He's been named the God of this world. And a third of the angels fell with him. When Satan fell, a third of the angels, and we know that there are demons throughout the earth. You can see it. It's very plain in Scripture. Jesus is greater than them. He casts them out. We don't have to be afraid of demons, but they do exist, and they manipulate in the affairs of men. And I've got an example here. I'm looking at a New York Times best-selling book by David Rockefeller, Memoirs, and there's an incredible quote in that. Do you have that, Alex?
I've memorized it. Yeah, it's on page 405 of the original edition. People can find it at their local library. And he's talking about his meeting with Fidel Castro, very friendly, bizarre meeting, a super capitalist and a communist dictator. And he says, some even believe that my family and me are conspiring against the best interests of the United States with a secret cabal to create a more integrated global political and economic system, a one world structure, if you will. And he says, if that's the charge, I stand guilty. And I'm proud of it. So he's proud of conspiring with a secret cabal against the interests of his own country to build a one world system. That right there should cause alarm bells to start ringing.
When would that have been written? Approximately when did he write that?
The book was published, I believe, in 2012. So about a little over 10 years ago.
All right. So this is the heir to the John D. Rockefeller fortune. I've been to Rockefeller's Indian Mount Cottage on Jekyll Island, where the Federal Reserve papers were signed. You know, the secret cabal met together before they got it passed in the Senate, and then through the entire Congress signed into law. All of that's happening. And then we see communist Russia emerging with Lenin, and then we see communist China emerging. And it seems like these very wealthy men and women have been supporting and working with the communists around the world. It's not that they want to have Great Mother Russia. It's that they want to have a one world government, and they're using communism to take over. Can you describe that?
Yeah, and this is a process that I would argue goes all the way back to the very beginning. Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels were supported semi-secretly by a network called the League of the Just. Many of these were very, very wealthy individuals. The idea that they wanted to give up all their wealth for the sake of a utopia is absolutely preposterous. You fast forward to the Bolshevik Revolution, which was the first really major success for the communists. And what you find is that was bankrolled by some of the biggest players on Wall Street. And we've got the government documents, the State Department records. We've got the corporate documents about all of this. The great historian from Stanford University, who we've mentioned already, Anthony Sutton, did a whole book. In fact, he did multiple books about this, the premier example being Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution. And he shows how these huge Wall Street banks and the leaders of these banks were funneling millions of dollars, which back then was an unfathomable amount of money, into people like Vladimir Lenin, into people like Leon Trotsky, so that they could go back, stir up a revolution, overthrow the czarist government, and then spread this poisonous ideology and really theology throughout the world. You see the same thing in the takeover of communist China. Massively powerful players behind the scenes helping to orchestrate this. And unfortunately, subversives in our own government, Kevin. You look at people like George Marshall, right? He served both as Secretary of State and as Secretary of War Defense. This is a guy who bragged publicly about disarming our ally, Chiang Kai-shek, who lost huge numbers of men fighting the Japanese, along with my grandpa. Right? Chiang Kai-shek was a Christian. He was a man who believed in liberty. He was a man who loved America. He was a man who put his own men on the line to fight the Japanese alongside us. And our government, people like George Marshall, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, stuck a knife in his back, betrayed him deliberately, put an arms embargo on him so we couldn't even send him weapons anymore for the purpose of allowing the agrarian reformers, which is how the New York Times and the other fake media of the time portrayed Mao and his butchers, so that they could take over China and eventually enslave that enormous empire and bring about what we see today. And George Marshall was just one of a whole network of these subversives. Harry Dexter White was another who played a key role here. Very dangerous people. And then you fast forward all the way to the present day. You look at the contemporary Marxist and communist movements, Black Lives Matter being the most recent and obvious example. They're telling us, literally telling us on television, that they're trained Marxists. They're going down and hobnobbing with the communist dictator of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro, and posting pictures of themselves on Twitter. And then at the same time, they're being funded openly by the biggest companies in the United States, the Fortune 500. It doesn't make sense until you realize that we have been deceived about the true nature of communism and this globalist threat.
Yeah, and 100 million people, I think I read in the Wall Street Journal, have been killed by communism through famine or through camps or through just outright murder. 100 million people. These are not humanists. They don't really care about human beings. They're godless communists, but they're also globalists. Here's another one, though. I think of, we talk about the red, the green, and the blue. The red axis is communism. The green axis is Islam. And I see Jimmy Carter. I remember when he literally undermined the Shah and let radical Islam take over Iran. It's the same group of people, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And we have seen this again so clearly, Kevin. One of the things that I looked at was the Soviet effort to work with Islam as a battering ram against Israel and against the United States. It's an incredible story. Yuri Andropov, of course, was a key player here. And we have primary source records proving this was the case. The former head of the Romanian KGB, a man by the name of General Ion Pacepa, he ended up defecting and he left this wicked system. He explains in his own books what happened here. He says that the Soviets trained thousands of Muslims to go back into the Islamic world, back into the Middle East, and radicalize Muslims across the region for the purpose of having them attack the little Satan, Israel, and the great Satan, the United States of America. And their thinking was very clear. Hey, with thousands of brainwashed Muslims who are willing to blow themselves up and kill people and bomb people, we could be more effective. Now, you know, we don't want to minimize the dangers of Islamic theology. Of course, Islamic armies have been butchering Christians and invading Europe literally since, Muhammad was here. But the fact that Islamists have worked with globalists, have worked with communists for evil purposes is 100% clear. It's 100% documented. And we saw it, Kevin, during the Obama administration like never before. I mean, this was a guy who was openly supporting Al-Qaeda in Syria in their civil war, openly supporting Al-Qaeda in Libya. And by the way, that's not my opinion. General Michael Flynn, the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency during that time, came out publicly and talked about the fact that Obama was doing this on TV. In fact, I have a 2012 Defense Intelligence Agency report where they admit that the revolution in Syria is led by Al-Qaeda in Iraq, AQI, that the Western powers are supporting this revolution, and that one of the goals is to create a Salafist principality in eastern Syria, which, of course, came to be known as the Islamic State. So this is a very, very dangerous phenomenon where you have globalists and communists and Islamists all working together for the purpose of bringing down Western civilization.
Well, and you can tell that they're not sincere. I mean, and I'm certain that many of the Islamists are sincere and they really believe what Muhammad wrote in the Quran and all that. But the leadership, this is where you've got to really be concerned. The leadership of Islam, you would think, would hate godless communism. You would think they'd say, no, they're atheistic. The people of the book are better than these godless communists. It's clear in the Quran that they should not like those from the LGBTQ plus movement. You know, throw them off the rooftops. That's an abomination before God. And yet you see all three working together to overthrow the family, working together against the interests of traditional America. So you've got to be right. I mean, it's just evidence that's screaming in our faces, and yet most people don't see it. Why don't people see it?
I think part of it is the fake education that the government has been dispensing for generations right now. It has really put blinders on people so that we don't notice things that are right in front of us. And even when we do notice them, we put our head back in the sand because we don't want to notice them, because that raises troubling questions. It means we might have to make some different decisions, some hard decisions. So I think that's a big part of it. The fake media certainly makes it very easy not to know all this. But I think what's happening here, Kevin, in the spiritual sense and at the spiritual level, is, you know, just like Christians, I go all over the world for my work. I've been to, you know, probably 100+ countries. Whenever I'm in a country and it happens to be Saturday or Sunday, I'll go to church. And I've never met these people. I don't even often speak the same language as them. And yet we're all working for the same goals, right? Because we're all united in Christ. We're all in God. We're all reading the same Bible. We all believe the same things. So for the enemy, it's the same, right? If they're all anti-Christ, if they're all anti-God, they don't necessarily even need to pick up the phone and call each other to know that, hey, we should be destroying the West, we should be destroying Christians, we should be attacking the family, we should be promoting any subversive ideology. And so when you see Islamists, who, you're right, would on paper at least seem to be opposed to the communists, openly cooperating with communists or the LGBT or whatever, you have to ask, what's going on? Well, they have a common enemy. That common enemy is the God of the Bible, Yahweh, Jesus Christ, and that unites them far more than their differences divide them, at least for the time being.
Yeah, no, and they've taken over education, they've taken over the media, and they've taken over this whole climate agenda, which is a globalist agenda. We've got about a minute left in the segment. Can you explain the climate agenda?
So essentially, they're arguing that carbon dioxide is pollution, which is utterly preposterous. We exhale about 2 pounds of it every day. Human emissions of CO2 make up a fraction of all the greenhouse gases that are naturally in the atmosphere. But we're told by the UN this is pollution, and that the only way to stop this is to submit to global regulation, global taxation, and global government. It's a totalitarian agenda from the pit of hell. It is not based in real science, but it's at the core of this effort to unite the world politically, economically, and now even religiously.
All right. Economically, you mentioned there's a push to go to a cashless society. And we talk about Pirate Money Radio. We talk about a project we've worked on together, which is to get transactional gold and silver across the country. You've reported on it, and we've gotten legislation passed in 5 states. Now, I want to point out support for this program comes from Glint. It's a financial technology service offering a debit card and mobile app that enables users to access their gold holdings for everyday purchases. With Glint, users maintain ownership of allocated physical gold, which is stored in a managed vault. At the time of a transaction, gold is sold in real time to cover the purchase amount in local currency. Glint offers an alternative way to store and use the value, combining gold and silver with modern payment infrastructure. Glint clients can monitor their gold balance, view transaction history, and manage their account through the Glint app available on major mobile platforms. More details about how vaulted physical gold can be used as money are available at glintpay.com/gold247. Again, that's glintpay.com/gold247. Glint providing access to gold for modern spending. What impact would it make, Alex, if we were able to get gold and silver as money again? How would that defeat this great reset?
It would help defund the operations of these evildoers. If we could take away the money power from them by restoring honest money, the whole scheme would come crashing down.
All right. We're talking with Alex Newman. We'll be right back after a break. We've got hope. The Bible gives us hope. And we're going to be talking about what the scriptures say on how to defeat this evil. We'll be right back.
Throughout history, the spirit of patriotism has prevailed. The battles may have changed, but the values remain the same. Today, in 2024, we find ourselves at a pivotal moment where the call for unity, freedom, and a better future echoes louder than ever. For more than 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream. Because this year is not just any year. It's the most important year since our nation's founding. Choose a wireless carrier that shares your values. Choose Patriot Mobile.
Washington said paper money opens the door to every species of fraud and injustice. Jefferson said paper is poverty. Hamilton said to emit an unfunded paper as the sign of value ought not to continue a formal part of the Constitution. The founders hated paper money, so they put a pirate money clause in the Constitution for our state to use. Learn more at transactionalgold.com.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And the great Alex Newman. We're talking about the, well, you could call it the Great Reset. We're talking about globalism and an attempt through the World Economic Forum and others to destroy America as we know her. To destroy our families, to destroy our churches, to destroy a free market business structure and replace it with an oligarchical business structure with social credit scores like China has, to really control people. And, you know, I wrote a whole book on this, According to Plan, and it seems like the plan is being very effective and with a few minor hiccups. One of them, the election of Donald Trump. I don't think that was expected or desired. Another of them is our pirate money movement, to where we can remove the monetary goal of cashless society with world credits and so forth. But really, the answer isn't anything that we can do individually as people so much as it is recognizing that there is a God in heaven who still reigns supreme over the lives of men, to educate ourselves and so forth. So what gives you hope? Alex, I mean, you're a very hopeful person. We've had, you know, meals together. You're positive. You're upbeat. And yet you know so much about this evil cabal and the plans, and we see so much of it happening around us. How do you keep an upbeat attitude?
Well, it's real simple, Kevin. I know how this ends. I know that Satan is already a defeated foe. Jesus Christ defeated him at the cross. And he proved it with his resurrection. And so it's very easy to be hopeful in these circumstances. Now, there is still a battle going on, but the outcome is already sure. Satan ends up in the lake of fire. There's no way out of it. God said it. It's happening. Take it to the bank. We have instructions from our God that we must carry out while we're here. If he's still got you here on this planet, he's got a reason for you to be here. And because we're talking about this, I want to just urge people, Kevin, not to fall in the other ditch, right? Because there are some people who fall in the ditch of saying, well, you know, I'm not worried at all about Satan. There's no such thing as Satan. It's not a big deal. You know, everything is fine. What the media tells me is true. And that's dangerous, right? The Apostle Paul even talked about, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. We don't want him to deceive us. And that means we have to teach and preach the whole counsel of God. But increasingly, I'm noticing people falling in the other ditch, which is Satan rules everything, right? Satan is in charge of every possible thing. And so if Trump got elected, that must be Satan's plan. Come on, guys. God is sovereign, not Satan. Satan's a created being. If you want good theology on Satan, I would recommend going to the scriptures. The book of Job has some very profound and I would argue difficult insights into the nature of Satan and his relationship with God. Notice God has him on a leash. He cannot go one inch beyond what God allows. And so with all that in mind, we need to understand God is already victorious. If you're on God's team, you are victorious with him. And in the meantime, we just need to follow the instructions that he's given us, and we should do that with great joy.
Yeah, no, I've got Psalm 2:4 here open. The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers conspire together against the Lord and his anointed one. So we know, number one, there's a conspiracy. But we know, number two, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. Essentially, God's given us a plan, and that is to promote the family, to promote nations, to believe in nations, to be, you know, I hate to say Christian nationalist because that's become a pejorative, but God made us Christians when we accepted Jesus Christ into our life. We're to be little Christs and caring, bringing heaven to earth, as the Lord's Prayer says, and go out. But we're also supposed to support the land in which we live, like Jeremiah says. So how do we do that? What are the practical things we can do as individuals to bring people out of the kingdom of darkness and bring them into the kingdom of God's beloved Son?
Amen. I couldn't agree with you more, Kevin. And that is really our primary task while we're here, right? We are to love God and we are to love people. And one of the things that we do if we love people is we share the gospel with them. We teach them about Christ. And one of the things that Charlie Kirk did that I think made him so phenomenal is he was taking the Great Commission seriously. Right? A lot of pastors, when they mention the Great Commission, they mention the part about making disciples, they mention the part about baptizing, but then they cut off the last part, which says teach them to obey or teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And so we don't just go around the world saying Jesus loves you, right? And Jesus may love you. I'm not here to argue with that, but it's much more than that, right? If you go to Acts chapter 17, you see these men being persecuted, not because they were telling people that Jesus loves you, but because they were saying that there's another king other than Caesar whose name is Jesus, and he must be obeyed before any human authority. And so what Charlie Kirk was doing was teaching people, what does the Bible say about marriage? What does the Bible say about politics? What does the Bible say about civil government? What does it say about culture? What does it say about sex? What does it say about all these different topics? And that, I believe, is at the heart of the Great Commission. Making disciples is more than just saying, Jesus loves you, now say this prayer and we're good to go, see you in heaven. It's about teaching and discipling people to follow God's word. Just last night, I was in John, I believe, chapter 14 with my children. It says, if you love me, you will obey me. And so one of the things that we do as Christians is we try to lead people to the Lord. God works in their heart, and then we disciple them. We teach them what it means to be a follower of Jesus, beginning, of course, with the children that God has blessed us with, the children in our home, our own sons and daughters, and then moving outward to the nations of the world.
You know, what's so exciting, you brought up Charlie Kirk, and tragic what happened to him. But the week before he was assassinated, he was in South Korea, which is important. He began a movement of young people in South Korea. Now, we know what's going on in South Korea. South Korea, we defended it. We fought a war to protect freedom. And lately, there's been a communist China-friendly government that has emerged. There's some question about whether there was good election integrity there or not. And Charlie went over and said, look, I'm going to make disciples in Korea. He went with Pastor Soon, and he went Pastor Rob McCoy, who's a friend. He went with Bill and Michael Federer, who taught the history of America and where our liberty came from, and Ryan Helfenbein, who's another friend from Liberty University. And they're there, and this movement is incredible. It's a worship movement. They're praising God. It is not a America first movement. It's a liberty first movement. So he's teaching liberty, and he's supporting them as having a separate and distinct nation from the United States, but loving on them, making disciples, and so forth. And that movement, I think, is going to reverse a terrible tide that had been taking place there. It reverses the globalism and the cabal and everything else. And how did he do it? By making disciples of young people. And I think that's the most incredible thing. As you teach your children scripture, Charlie Kirk was teaching youth scripture at campuses across the world.
That's right. And, you know, the Bible's very clear about this. God is the author of liberty. There's no such thing as a free society that's not based on the principles and the truths that God revealed in Scripture. And if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, what you find is that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The reason America enjoyed liberty is because it was following God's principles. God said, thou shalt not steal. That means you have a right to property. God said the government should punish evil. Stealing is evil. Therefore, the government has an obligation to help you protect your right to property. God said murder is evil. Government must punish evil. Therefore, you have a right to life, and government must punish those who infringe on or attempt to infringe on your right to life. These are the basic building blocks of a free society, is following God's commands. And this is true in South Korea, it's true in the United States, it's true in Sweden, it's true in Zululand, it's true anywhere. You cannot have liberty, you cannot have a nice, prosperous, free society without God and without the principles that God has ordained. And it's just critical that people not just understand this, but teach others and especially pass that knowledge on to their children, folks. It is absolutely essential.
You know, and it happens at the individual level. You can individually accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It is not a national salvation where we walk in, okay, we're a Christian nation, so everybody's going to heaven. It is done at the individual level. And it's interesting because all of this, the communism, Islamism, the globalism, there none of those are dealing with the individual. Everyone becomes a drone and pours themselves into the greater society, whether it's an Islamic society or a globalist society or a communist society. It's never once where you have any individual responsibility, authority, or liberty. I think that's a key distinction between God's plan, which is dealing with people individually, and Satan's plan, which is putting us all in one big society.
That's right. Satan's here to kill, steal, and destroy. Christ came that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly, folks. So choose this day who you will serve. But as Joshua says, as for me and my household, we are going to serve the Lord. Come hell or high water, we're not going to change our plan. We're not going to change course. God gave us everything we need for life and for salvation. And so we praise him for that, and we follow his instructions.
You know, Alex, you're a great investigative journalist. I've seen you cover so many topics, climate and so forth. What's your big story now, and how can people follow you?
Well, thank you, sir. Last night, I broke a huge story. The UN is now coming for homeschoolers. I encourage people to find out about that. They are putting a big target on our backs. My website is libertysentinel.org. People can sign up for our free newsletter there. I encourage people to get up to speed on what's happening in education. I homeschool my own children. We use Classical Conversations. There's a lot of great programs out there. And I would encourage people to get signed up to useful sources of information like the Economic War Room, like the New American Magazine. You know, time is short. There's a lot of deception out there, and we must be well-informed if we're going to fight this battle successfully.
And we work together with the Remnant Alliance, and we've been speaking at Remnant Alliance events with Liberty Pastors, Salt and Light Ministries, Patriot Academy. These are incredible as Citizens Defending Freedom, incredible groups. I think you can learn more at remnantalliance.com.
Yep. excellent work that everybody involved is doing, and I'm so grateful to be a small part of it.
Well, we're grateful to know you. We're grateful for the work that God is doing. He's still on the throne. He still wins in the end. We have battles that we have to fight individually, but we know that our God is able, through us, to overcome the Goliath, just as David overcame him in the power and the presence of the Lord. So thank you, Alex, so much for being part of Pirate Money Radio. If you have questions, if you have prayer needs, if you have comments, email us at afr@piratemoneyradio.com. And we need to pray. Pray for America. Pray for the world to return to God's principles. Pray for His divine protection. Look, you can listen to us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, etc. This is Kevin Freeman, joined by Alex Newman for Pirate Money Radio. Arr.